Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you up to date with all the news you should know about. Today, Penn State researchers find a hotspot of melanoma cases in central Pennsylvania. And Stacey Garrity, the Republican running for governor of Pennsylvania, shares her thoughts on data centers. It's Tuesday, January 13th. Let's get into it. First, we have an update to a 15-year-old murder case. Investigators think they know who killed a well-known Luzerne County businessman nearly 15 years ago. As WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk reports, state police have charged Jonathan Ballister's cousin with killing him for money.
Frederick Ballister wanted his family's eyeglass-making company to accept a multi-million dollar offer to sell. His cousin, Jonathan Ballister, didn't want to sell, and Jonathan had majority control of Ballister Optical. So he blocked the sale for years, even though everyone else in their family favored selling. Right before the company shareholders considered one more offer, Frederick Ballister went to his cousin's home. State police say Frederick jolted Jonathan with a stun gun, then stabbed him in the back numerous times. That was in May of 2011. It took almost 15 years before police charged Frederick Ballister with the killing. They did that Monday, although they had evidence against him early on. By the end of 2011, they had latex gloves found at the crime scene with Frederick's DNA on them. They had the stun gun they found in his home. They knew Frederick asked his own brother what would happen if Jonathan didn't show up for the vote. In an interview, Luzerne County District Attorney Sam Sanguadolce credited state police with keeping the case alive and explained what took so long to file charges.
It was a matter of putting all the pieces together over the, that had come in. We had to reassemble some old facts and get it all squared away so that the prosecutor in the case, who's Deputy Dan Zola, and I were both comfortable with making the arrest, that we could use these facts to prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt.
I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Find the full story at WVIA.org. Now for that health news. A new study from Penn State University found a hotspot of melanoma cases in central Pennsylvania. Researchers found a pattern of the skin cancer in counties with or near farmland. Among them are Columbia, Lycoming, Montour, Northumberland, Snyder, and Union counties. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports.
Tommy Nagel comes from generations of farmers. Many have had melanoma, a serious type of skin cancer.
My grandfather had it. My uncles have it who farm. We're exposed to the sun a lot more than, average people because, our jobs are mainly outside.
He's a farmer and the vice president of the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. Benjamin Marks is one of the study's co-authors. He says counties had to meet requirements of melanoma incidents to be considered a part of the hotspot.
The county itself plus its six surrounding neighbors, as well as the county, has to both be elevated.
The study was a correlation, not a causation study. So further research is needed to determine the why of the high incidence rates. But Dr. Eugene Joseph Langerich, another co-author on the study, says it fits into Penn State School of Medicine's mission.
We are very much supportive of a One Health approach to preventive medicine, to human health as well, recognizing that the human health is it's a composite of what goes on in our environment, and we really need to be able to look at it in that perspective.
The melanoma risk in the hotspot counties extends to all residents, not just farmers. The team's future research will include site investigations at Pennsylvania farms. I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA News.
Thanks, Lydia. And while we're talking about the more rural parts of our state, Republican gubernatorial candidate Stacey Garrity says rural Pennsylvania should embrace the data center boom. As Jackson White reports for WVIA, polling shows voters may not be so interested.
Garrity serves as Pennsylvania's treasurer. She says letting voters have more say in where to put data centers is key to winning public trust. But Garrity also says rural Pennsylvania is primed to benefit from the AI boom.
48 out of 67 of our counties in Pennsylvania are rural. So there are a lot of areas where you could put data centers that I think communities would welcome.
Voters may not be so thrilled about having the facilities in their backyards. An Emerson College poll shows Pennsylvania voters are split evenly on whether to support data center construction. But a majority were concerned about the center's electricity use. Grid operator PJM has warned building more data centers could drive a spike in energy costs. And consumer advocates worry that taxpayers will be forced to pay the bill. In Harrisburg, I'm Jackson White.
Find more of these stories at WVIA.org. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
WVIA News is working hard to be your source for local, state, and national stories that shape your world. We're your connection to stories that truly matter, and we report to you. Find us at WVIA.org.
Welcome back. Now, you didn't think yesterday's bookmarks recommendations were all I had, did you? Here's the rest of your favorite reads of 2025.
I'm Brian Ferguson Avery from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. I'm an author and a tax preparer. I'm reviewing Meet Me at the Museum by Ann Youngson. At the center of Meet Me at the Museum, a novel by Ann Youngson, is the 2,400-year-old Tollen Man, a body preserved in Danish peat. He resides in a museum in Silkeborg, Denmark, near his place of discovery 75 years ago. As a young girl, Tina was fascinated by his photograph, and in middle age, she finally gathers the courage to reach out to the museum where he resides. Her letter is answered by Anders, the museum's curator. The correspondence between Tina and Anders continues, and the two become cherished confidants. Tina describes what became of Isabella, her lively friend from childhood who shared her fascination with the Tollen Man, and Anders relates the sad fate of his recently departed wife. They describe their children's lives, their own daily tasks, the objects in their homes, and their dreams and disappointments. They encourage each other to open up to things they may have considered lost, to view the mundane items of their lives in a new way, and to make small choices that lead to important consequences. Anders worries about his use of English, and farm wife Tina frets that her thoughts aren't intelligent enough to interest the Danish curator. However, at several points in this epistolary novel, Anders invites Tina to visit him in Denmark, to personally introduce her to the Tollen Man. She hesitates, she dismisses, but we can tell that she wants to see the ancient man face to face, and more so, to see Anders. Whether or not she decides to make the journey will take you through the final pages of this satisfying novel.
Hey, this is Glynis, founder and CEO of the Black Scranton Project.
My favorite read for 2025 goes to Something Someday by Amanda Gorman, illustrated by Christian Robinson. Even though this is a children's book, its message is for everyone. It's a gentle reminder that small actions can create real change. 2025 was a tough year for many of us, which is why one line from this book especially stayed with me. Quote, "You're told to sit and wait, but you know people have waited too long." That sentence feels like both a truth and a call to action. The illustrations are soft, collage-like, and full of warmth. The book follows a young boy's efforts to clean up his neighborhood. They show how collective care can grow from simple, everyday actions. Each page reads like a quiet affirmation. There's always something you can fix, always a way to lend a hand. The message mirrors exactly what I strive to do through the Black Scranton Project. The work isn't flashy or extraordinary. It's obtainable, rooted in care, and built one small, meaningful step at a time.
Hi, this is Claire Ryan from Gouldsboro, Pennsylvania. The Nightingale is a deeply moving and beautifully written novel that stayed with me long after I finished it. Set in Nazi-occupied France during World War II, it follows two sisters, Vianne and Isabel, whose lives take very different paths as they struggle to survive and resist in their own ways. One faces quiet endurance and impossible choices at home, while the other joins the French resistance, risking everything for freedom. This book is heart-wrenching, powerful, and emotionally rich. Kristen Hannah captures love, fear, sacrifice, and resilience with such depth that the characters feel painfully real. It's a story about the strength of women, the cost of war, and the many forms bravery can take.
Hi, Isabella Weiss, WVIA's rural government reporter and RFA Corps member here. The great gray beast February had eaten Harvey Swick alive. Here he was, buried in the belly of that smothering month, wondering if he would ever find his way out through the cold coils that lay between here and Easter. That's the opening line to Clive Barker's The Thief of Always, a spellbinding fable that questions what really matters in life and what we lose when we don't cherish the present. We follow 10-year-old Harvey Swick as he navigates the house, a mystical mansion that only kids can see that beckons Swick from somewhere beyond our world. The problem he finds quickly, however, is that once he enters the door, he can never leave. The Thief of Always is short, profound, and rich in symbolism. It's a lesser-known thriller that should be listed as one of the classics, as it captures what it feels like to face demons that feel much larger than oneself, and ultimately, what it means to come to terms with yourself.
Hi, I'm Autumn Granza, content marketer and photographer, and I'm recommending Human Acts by Han Kang because it's one of those books that doesn't just tell a story, it asks you to sit with it, and it stays with you long after you turn the last page. Set in the aftermath of the Gwangju Uprising in South Korea, Human Acts moves through a series of interconnected voices and perspectives to show what happens when ordinary people are forced to confront extraordinary violence and what remains when the headlines fade. Han Kang's writing is quiet and precise, almost delicate in its restraint, yet every sentence carries weight. What makes this novel unforgettable is how it insists on humanity even in the most dehumanizing circumstances. It explores how trauma doesn't end when the violence stops. It lingers in bodies, memory, relationships, and language. And still, the book makes room for tenderness and moral courage, for the small acts of care that become radical when the world is trying to erase people. If you want a novel that will challenge you, break your heart, and remind you why empathy matters, Human Acts is the one.
My name is Fawn Contreras. I am the head of youth services at the Valley Community Library, and I read 185 books in 2025. The book I am going to put forward as my favorite is Here I Am by Shonta Grimes. This is a YA novel that really deals an emotional punch and is relatable for teens and adults alike. The main character struggles with body image, bullying, suicide, eating disorders, and how diverse eating disorders are, and finding her strength along the way and confidence in herself.
Hi everyone, Sarah Cinto here with my recommendation. The real tragedy of If We Were Villains is the fact it took me this long to pick up ML Rio's debut novel. I devoured this book, and it made me want to reread every Shakespearean play I've ever studied. It's a mystery, it's dark academia, it's suspense, and an engrossing cast of characters all wrapped up in the words of the bard. The book follows Oliver Marks after he's released from prison. He's spent a decade behind bars for a crime we don't know about yet. With the retired Detective Colborne in tow, he retells the story of what happened in his fourth year as a theater student at the prestigious Delacour Classical Conservatory. The dramatic tension is what kept me reading this book. As Oliver tells his tale, the cast of seven fourth-year students are caught in a tangled web of truths and lies, and it's impossible to look away as you wait for it all to unravel. That's all for this edition of Bookmarks, but we're not going away anytime soon. Join us again on January 24th. I'll be looking for your favorite classical works. Want to talk about your favorite book from the classics section? Email me at sarahcinto@wvia.org with bookmarks in the subject line. So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready for the day? Find more stories, as always, at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me today. We're here every weekday, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss anything. Enjoy your Tuesday, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.